Welcome, everybody. It is Elaine. It is Thursday, March 7th, 2019, and I am and we are here on a 3 p.m. Eastern Time PSS call, and we have several people on the line, so let's start with celebrations and see where it takes us. Who wants to get us started? Lauren, can I get you to start?
Yes.
Awesome.
So I will celebrate that it's not so much my child, but it's more me, which is kind of what I've been working on all along. I just feel like I am more calm in many situations that would have gotten me upset in the past. I can stay calm, and that helps a lot to problem solve instead of just being upset. I guess I'm less triggered.
Awesome. That is a huge accomplishment.
I've been working on it for a while, but yes, it is.
Right. Well, and yet you may be working on it for a while, but if you don't stop to sort of acknowledge that you've made that progress, then mm-hmm. sometimes we forget to give ourselves credit for the progress, right? If we only see what's not working and we don't see what is working, it colors everything.
Mm-hmm.
So yay. Do you have a sense of what's been the most helpful, or is it just sort of the combination of all of it?
I think it's all of it. I've been working also on my relationship with my son, so that has improved. So I think that has given me, I don't know, our relationship improving has been helpful in a lot of ways, because he's less quick to get upset about things and I'm less quick to get upset about things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's just a combination of things.
Right. Triggered, yeah. And you've been really leading into the relationship. Who else has this?
This is Linda. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I actually am celebrating that my son has been getting up this week. He's been doing better. It was something we have been working on, and he has been doing better. But he's had a couple of pretty rough days this week, like not getting homework done, not following through what he's supposed to do at school. However,
mm-hmm.
he has gotten up every morning and been ready and gotten to the bus. And I am thrilled.
That's amazing. So
yeah.
How have you acknowledged him for that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So there were a couple of days when I actually did explicitly acknowledge him. You know what? I noticed I didn't today, and I probably should have, because he got to bed really late last night, and I anticipated a problem, particularly since my alarm went off in the middle of the night and I tried to wake him up.
Mm-hmm.
So I really should have acknowledged him this morning. Very specifically, and I did not. So that's
okay.
That's one on me.
So what if that's not one on you? What if that's a recognition now, and it's not too late to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I will do it now when I pick him up from school today. I will acknowledge him for being ready and getting ready and doing a good job this morning.
Yeah, especially after a late night.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, I think that it's never too late to acknowledge, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with, you know, end of the day instead of the beginning of the day, and sort of the reminder at the end of the day, what they did at the beginning of the day. Sometimes there's a value in that. I used to leave a note for my kids on on the table when they would get home from school that said, great morning this morning, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be immediate. It's not, I guess that's what I'm saying. It's not one on you. There's nothing wrong for not having done it yet. right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, and here's the reminder that win is to catch them being good, right? To help them see what
right.
they're doing successfully.
Right.
Cool. All right. Who else? What other celebrations do we have?
I can go if you're ready. This
go
is Shirey.
Uh-huh.
Last time we had a conversation about the kids with the bickering and fighting and stuff, and so I did have to sit down and have the conversation with them about, you know, wanting our family to be more peaceful and happy, and that included me as well as them, and I asked
right.
them if it's okay if I, you know, if that's something they wanted to work on, and they agreed, and I said, you know, if I realize you're seeing something that's unkind, you know, would it be okay if I say, you know, can you say that a different way? And my son, which he's almost 16, I got immediate buy-in with him, which I will say in the past he hasn't. And so that's been really nice. And when I have brought up something like, are you saying that, is there a better way you could say that, he'll stop. And so with him, I felt like I could tell a huge difference, and they're getting along better. But unfortunately, the second part of the session will be her response. So she doesn't like it when I say, is there a different way you could say that, or can we do better? So I've actually had way more problems with her, but he's been doing really good. So I kind of got a celebration and maybe something I need to be
and
curious
a challenge.
About.
Okay. Yeah. Love
yeah.
that. Well, and here's what I would offer is that you may have a conversation with her privately that says, it doesn't sound like that's resonating with you. How would you like me to say it?
Yeah.
You know, but don't do it around him. Do it privately.
Okay. Yeah, she's wanting to be in control of everything. It's been really crazy.
Right.
She
yeah.
fought back.
Well, and
it's
so,
been a nightmare with her.
So, yeah.
So
give her, hand her back the reins and say, totally understand that doesn't seem to be landing for you. What would be helpful? How can
right.
I do that in a way that doesn't offend you or upset you?
Right.
Keep inviting her to the conversation.
Okay.
Okay. Jane, what about you? What are you celebrating?
I'm celebrating recognizing that my systems for putting down homework assignments and chore and due dates needed to be more my son's strategies, because they might work differently for his brain. So today we sat down and I showed him what I do on my calendar, what works for me to remember appointments. And so just having a discussion, and he was quite good at listening to it. And I said, you know, for what your brain works, these strategies work for me, and then you can try to figure out what is helpful for you to remember. And he did discuss some of the things that do work for him. And so I'm trying to emphasize to him for him to become independent of me, and such that it doesn't always have to be my way, but any way that works for him. And so that's just, I feel good about doing that in all areas with him.
That's awesome. And it sounds like he's being responsive to it.
Yes, very much so.
That's great.
Yeah.
Way to go. That's a big transition, because that it's, you know, those slow, steady, simple ways of passing the baton.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it's those little steps that become the major steps. Way to go.
Good. Yeah.
Well, and I want to celebrate this week that my baby turned 18 this week.
Wow.
So I have stewarded three children to majority. And I am legally on wow. mommy's over none. and I just want the record
it's
to reflect.
It's very emancipated.
I am amazed, right? I feel like it's this huge accomplishment. They're all alive. They're all well. And they all love each other and love us. And I feel like that's just, you know, my life is good.
That's
so,
it.
Yeah. And my eldest child is in town this week with her partner, and is being honored this weekend for her advocacy for LGBT issues. So I'm, you know, all in all, I'm a proud mama this week.
That's wonderful.
That is wonderful.
Sounds good. Okay, so let's take aim, and then we'll talk some about curiosity. Where do you want to take aim this week?
This is Lauren. Do you want me to start again?
Uh-huh, sure.
So I think I would like to take aim on the levels of passing the baton. My son is 17 and three quarters, going back to the three-quarter system. And I'm really trying to encourage him to be independent, to figure out things on his own, I guess. But I don't know if I'm doing it too much. I don't know if I'm not giving him enough scaffolding. So I don't know.
Is there a particular area that, because that's, you know, it's really, really general, but is there a particular change or area where you feel like you're concerned you may not be scaffolding enough, or
well,
he may not be ready?
I forgot to mention, too, as a little celebration, 2 weeks ago when we talked, I was supposed to sit on the couch with him. We were
all
going to sit on the couch. And it was really good at first. He was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I just want to see what you're doing. And he's like, you're probably not going to be interested. And I said, no, I am. Like, and he showed me his videos that he was watching, and they were interesting. And so that was helpful for us. I forgot to mention that earlier. Cool. But, for example, in getting more specific, like he's challenging classes, he manages his homework, but he does it in a different way than I would like, but I've come to accept that. But my husband the other night said, you know, don't you think you should get started on your homework? I don't know what time it was. And I said to my husband, I was like, just let him do his thing. Like, it's only going to upset you. It's going to upset him. Just let him do his thing. Then I'm like, well, I mean, he manages to get it done, but I don't know. I mean, should I be concerned if he's, you know, getting his work done, but then spending the rest of the evening on his phone? Like, I just don't know if I should try to manage him more or not, or if I should just let him do his thing, I guess.
So I'm not really sure what you are saying that you want to take in. And I think it started with the notion of the baton, but I think what I hear you really saying is figuring out whether it's appropriate for me to step in. Is that correct?
Yes, but isn't that kind of the same? Like, I don't know if I'm giving him too much. I don't know if I'm letting him be at level 4 and he should really be at level 3, for example. Yeah, I don't know if I'm giving him too much leeway, if I should be parenting him more than I am.
Around what in particular? Is there something you feel like should be
his time? His usage of his time. Really.
Okay. All right. So, and it's his time when he's not working, when he's not getting schoolwork done, or is it even how he's getting the schoolwork done?
No, time when he's not getting his schoolwork done.
Okay. So you want to sort of set some clear expectations for yourself about what an appropriate relationship with him around time.
Yes.
Around free time.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to look at that more in that realm of setting realistic expectations, right?
Sure.
Because that's really what you're asking is what should I, shouldn't I be doing? What's realistic to expect? Okay. So let's and curiosity will play in well to this. So let's leave it there and come back. Is that cool?
Yep. Thank you.
Okay, who else? Where are we taking aim this week?
I can go next if you want.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned earlier about Chloe, whenever I asked, you know, to work on some of these things with getting along, then the rest of the week, or the last couple weeks, it's been her telling me what to do, which is why, since it's a control thing, and then whenever I do ask her to reword something or think about something differently, she wants to argue. And so it's been kind of, like I said, it's been like a huge power struggle with her.
Okay.
And
so what's the change you want to see?
Well, I guess it's like I would like to find a way for her to buy into wanting to get along, not just with Xavier, but with me too. You know, and I don't know, actually, to be honest, I don't know. I'm kind of a little bit baffled by her sometimes, because I've also noticed that she's starting to cling to my husband instead of me immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting him to be on her side and wanting, and not all of a sudden not, there's boundaries we had with him that all of a sudden she's pushing.
With him
physically,
meaning your
even.
Husband?
Yeah. My husband, yeah. Like, you know, because she's my niece. And she's wanting to all of a sudden be on his lap. And he's having to be like, you know, he's not always aware of what she's doing. But it's like, I don't even know what to say. It's like this complete shift of her wanting to be in control with him, with me. I don't even know where to start. But we
mm-hmm.
were doing really good
okay.
with that, and we have for a long time. And there's just this crazy shift whenever I started working with her and Xavier. And I don't know if there's other things that maybe just happened to be at the same time in her mind, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? I don't know that that was the catalyst.
If I pull back what I think I'm hearing you say, what the change you
okay.
really want to see is either sort of reconnecting with her. And sort of, you know, we had heard what Lauren was saying earlier, is sort of leaning into the relationship. So finding a way
right.
to reconnect with her. Or maybe it's just sort of stepping out of a power struggle with her.
Yeah. I agree.
They kind of go together.
Funny you say the reconnecting, because I thought about that last night when she went in her room and I told my husband, I said, you have got to put down guidelines for boundaries again. I said, she's doing it again. I said, you're not even aware of it. But it made me think, too, immediately I thought to myself, you know, for her to be all of a sudden doing that with him, there's got to be something that's made her feel disconnected with me.
Mm.
That was just my thought. I'm not sure, but that is one thing that came up in my mind.
Okay. So that sounds like, I mean, there's a power struggle piece, and that's going to be part of it, but it sounds like what you really want
right.
is to sort of reconnect with her a little bit.
I do, but I don't know which one I would pick, because I also don't like the power struggle either, because it's so
I don't
exhausting.
Think you're
going
to be able to do one without the other.
Right.
Truly. And if you focus on reconnecting, then
right.
part of that is going to be figuring out how to step out of the power struggle. That's really more of a strategy
okay.
to reconnect. So
okay.
I think you're fine with that. And let's start with that and
right.
see where it takes you.
Okay.
Okay. All right, who else? Jane or – now I lost track. Is it Linda or Susie that's here?
We're both here.
It's Susie, right? Oh, you're both here. Okay. That
yes.
makes it easier for
yes.
me. Thank you. Okay. So do y'all have a place you want to take aim this week?
Lynn, do you have thoughts? I have a thought, but Linda, are you there? You're on mute if you are.
Sorry, I was on mute.
Okay. Do you have a thought?
I do have a thought, and I'd really like to take aim around school, specifically Gabriel's participation. And when I say that, what I mean is, you know, we've gotten the 5-week reports, and all of them say he's not participating in class. And
and he's not getting his work, and he's not getting his work done in class.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's a structure set up for him to get support. And
so I'm going to stop you for a second. I want you to bottom line for a second. What's the change you want to see? Let's let go of how for a moment and just focus with me on what is the change.
That he'll be responsible for getting help with his work.
So the change you want is to help him ask for the help he needs. And
yes.
Is it seeking the help or accepting the help? Because those are kind of two different things.
They are very different things. He actually needs to work on both.
Well, but you got to start with one or the other.
Yes, I understand. Asking for it.
Okay. So focus on Gabe's asking for the help he needs.
Yes. Suze, what were you thinking?
I was thinking exactly the same thing.
Okay. Beautiful. Okay. And Jane, what about you?
The change I would like to see is that my conversation with my son will revolve around his interests and not on school.
So you want to sort of connect with him around his interests.
Connect with him is the major goal, to have more of a pleasant relationship and conversational exchange, and mine generally revolves around, did you get enough sleep? You didn't get enough sleep. You know, did you get too long? You can't do schoolwork. Schoolwork. And he will look at me and say, Mom, is there anything else we can talk about besides school?
Right.
And I realized that that's just, you know, always my concern is getting him through these courses. And I think that that's important to not always, I think that that's the only thing I can focus on.
Yep.
So I want to focus on. So it's going to be hard because, I mean, how can you be interested in those
videos?
Okay,
stop. I'm stopping you. Stopping you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you made your, right? Like, yes, it's going to be hard. And let's give it a moment. Let's get there. The goal here is to connect with him around anything other than
his interest.
And stop being so school obsessed.
Yes.
School centric. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to acknowledge you for even choosing that, because yes, it's going to be hard, and it's important, because at the end of the day, what we want is for our kids to be in relationship with them, so that whatever they're dealing with in their lives, they're willing to come to us and talk to us and ask us. And if it's always about us trying to get them to do something, then they're going to lose trust that they can really come to us when they need something. So really, and you know, and the example that Lauren gave of, you know, things are getting better and she's staying calmer and able to problem solve better and is less triggered, in large part because she's focusing on the relationship, right? And so it really, I always say two things, when all else fails, either focus on the relationship or focus on self-care. It's always going to be one of the two.
Okay.
Right? So it's a great place to look. Okay, so topic of the week, let's talk just a little bit about curiosity. I'm not going to spend a long time talking about it because it's a tool we use a lot. We all know about it. It's a great tool for shifting expectations, which ties into several of your topics this week. And it's really about stepping out of assumption land, right? We have this tendency to make assumptions about what we should be doing or what they should be doing or how something should be happening. And then we take action based on assumptions without sort of checking them. And curiosity lets us step back and really get a better understanding of what's going on with ourselves and our dynamics, with our kids, with the relationship. You know, just in this conversation, for example, Shairi, I heard you getting curious about what was going on with your niece and beginning to see it differently, and that opens up a different possibility, right? So curiosity is really about checking those assumptions at the door and giving ourselves permission to evaluate a dynamic without judgment, without blame, without shame. Right? And so much of what we bring into these dynamics are often our own blame or shame. Right? Like I was talking to a client this morning, and what we realized is that part of what was going on for her was she was getting upset and losing it, and it had nothing to do with what was going on with the kids. It was her own story inside her head of, if I were a better mother, I would be handling this better, or if I were a better mother, I would know what to do, right? And so that wasn't about the kids at all. That was about her, but that story was coloring so much of what was happening for her, right? But when we sort of stepped out and got curious, what was really going on was her son was really struggling with something. And when it wasn't about, I'm not being a good mom, and it was like, wow, he's really struggling. How can I help him? She was able to shift everything about how she could see approaching it. And that started with getting curious about what's really going on. So when we bring curiosity, and that's why it's right after we take AIM, curiosity is step two in the model, right? It gets its own step, basically. It's collecting information, gathering data, getting informed, whatever you want to call it. It all leans on curiosity as a foundation for exploration. We explore what's going on. We pull back to that 30,000-foot view, and we try to understand it without judging it, without making it wrong, and without worrying about it or hyper-focusing on it, or just like, wow, what else is there to know? I was working with a couple last night about, and they were dealing with an issue with a young teenager, like 12 to 14-year-old, who's struggling with following directions. And when we got curious about what was really going on, we came up with a list of 12 things that could be happening that are making it difficult for that kid to follow directions. And it was different things at different times of day and at different scenarios, right? But there were literally 12 different things that could be going on. And so you're going to come up with a different solution depending on what's really the cause of the problem in the first place. And so curiosity really lets you get to the heart or the core of what's going on or the dynamic so that you can problem solve in a way that really meets the needs of that problem. Right, and that's why we always say we don't want to start with systems, because if you start with a structure, you may or may not be addressing the real problem that's happening. You know, we can give every kid a planner, but is the real problem, is it always that the problem is the kid isn't using the planner, or is it the problem that that's not how the kid processes information, or is it the problem that this teacher doesn't put the stuff on the online portal like they're supposed to, and, you know, like there's all kinds of things that it could be. If we start by understanding the problem first before we get to solution. So I'm going to stop and kind of open up for conversation. Let's talk first about this notion of getting curious and challenging assumptions and judgments and you know, what comes up for y'all and what's challenging or helpful about it.
So this is Linda. So I find when I get curious, you know, and I want to ask him questions, and always his response to every question, even if I say, just tell me one thing you think might help with this, his response is always, I don't know.
Okay, so can I point into what's happening there?
Yeah.
What's one thing that might help with this is a solution. You're asking him for a solution. So getting curious is about taking a step before that and understanding the problem first before you go to solution, right? So just tell me one thing. What's going on when this happens? What are you thinking about? What kinds of things have you tried that have worked? What have you tried that hasn't worked? Like really understanding the dynamic before you get to problems. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right. So if you say, what's one thing you might try, you're already in problem solving. So that's not actually curiosity. And that's actually a great great point, because there are two things that I think two problems we run into with curiosity. One is exactly what you're pointing to, which is we think we're getting curious when we're really still just masking the problem solving in another language, right? but then the other thing is sometimes when we get curious, we become interrogators. So we want to be really careful to keep it light and keep it casual and keep it open and not have it become them feeling like they're under a spotlight and they need to tell us what, right? So there's something about, it's not just getting curious, but the way to be curious, and this is kind of a this just in for me, is to stay curious in the curiosity, right? To stay open and flexible in it and not be seeking an answer, but kind of more making sure that this curiosity stage is about raising awareness and helping raise their awareness. We want them to start becoming introspective. We want them to start thinking about how they think about things. So sometimes the curiosity phase may not be about getting them to answer it as much as it's about raising the question for them to ponder a little bit and then checking back in later and seeing what they came up with or what they thought about it. Right? Often the curiosity phase may go longer than, you know, a single conversation, because they may not know, not only what they want to do, but they may not know yet, like, what's really going on. What are they upset about? You know, your niece is young enough where she's probably not thinking consciously, I'm, you know, pulling away from my aunt and moving towards my ex, right? But she may be able to identify, I'm feeling disconnected, or I'm feeling a little lost right now, or, you know, you're spending a lot of time with my brother and I'm feeling left out, or, whatever it is that will help her move forward. It may not be the solution. In fact, it probably won't be. This phase is about raising awareness so that we can eventually get to a more effective solution. So what comes up when I sort of divide into those two different challenges that we face? Those resonate for people?
This is Jane. I'm having a difficult time with the curiosity becoming helpful in my son's situations of where I'm seeing the problems. So I can't get past where he might say, can I give an example?
Mm-hmm.
Specific? Okay. So if he's watching video games 80% of the day and 10% watching TV and the other 10 eating, and then there's no time left for anything else, if I say, Joshua, in your future, would you like to have just your whole life be video games, TV, and eating? He said, because I thought he would say, no, I want to be able to get a job and do that. He said, yeah, I would like that. It would be great.
Of course you would like
I
that.
That's some
any teenage boy is going to say, yeah, that would be great. Yeah.
So
what do you think you were really trying to be curious about?
Why?
Because it doesn't sound like that was true curiosity. It sounds like that was a leading question. Right?
And I'm kind
of
judging
really
it,
curious.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm very curious. Very curious why you are not participating in things like you used to outdoors. You're just watching TV and eating and playing video games. So I'm kind of curious why he's in that kind of a frame of mind.
So
and
if you reframe that from the negative to what you're not doing to the positive, which is what do you feel like when you're spending time watching or listening or eating or whatever right now, you know, more than likely knowing kids of this age, if we get curious what's probably going on, he may not be able to answer the question, right? But more than likely he's avoiding, right? He's kind of stalling. He's waiting. He's in that terrible in-between stage between high school and whatever's next. He's waiting for his life to begin. And so, you know, if you asked him, what is it about it that is interesting or engaging to you, he's going to be able to tell you it's interesting, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. everything else is boring, and it's not.
That's right.
You know. And so what I hear you what you're trying to do is convince him that there's something else. And so curiosity, but how do I say this? I don't hear a real curiosity about what he is experiencing. I hear using curiosity as a way to try to move him to see it your way.
Okay, no, I get that.
Is that fair?
Yeah, because that's actually more important is what curiosity is, what's kind of like what's I don't want to say causing this behavior because that sounds negative. Curiosity about what, I don't know how to phrase it so it wouldn't
offensive. So if you ask the question, you know, you used to really like hiking, and I notice you don't really seek that out anymore. Do you miss it? Right? That's a curious mm-hmm. question that will get him thinking about it. That's not framing it in the, if you weren't sitting around playing video games all day, you wouldn't, you know, like, right?
Yeah.
But we know this is an outdoors kid who loves to be outdoors and he loves to hike, right?
Right.
So, you know, but and it is not uncommon for kids in their late teens to let go in this in-between stage to let go of lots of things they're interested in until they get to whatever's next, whether it's college or work or whatever, because they're kind of in limbo. And he knows he's in limbo.
You got it. That's kind of like how he is. He's just really unsure. People ask him, well, you know, what are you going to do or your major or whatever? And he said, I don't know. You know, something,
I don't know. Right.
Something outdoors. And, you know, so it's
right.
Just, again.
So mm-hmm. instead of focusing on what he's not doing, start trying to get curious about what is he, you know, it may be what is he afraid of. Maybe it's what is he avoiding. Maybe it's what is he waiting for. You know, I know I've dealt with this with my son. It feels like he's waiting for his life to begin, and in his mind, it's not going to begin until he goes away to college. And it's just not. And he's made this decision. He's got this determination in his head. So, to some extent, and I remember one of my other kids, the same thing. There was just this holding pattern. And so if you get him curious, if you get curious about that, like what's going on with you instead of why are you doing this? You shouldn't be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Then he'll start to think about it, and maybe he will connect to what is he engaged with. And, you know, maybe he will want to go to, you know, set up a hiking room. I don't know if you've ever gone with him, but maybe it's, you know, scheduling a time to go hiking with him on the weekend, or let him show you his favorite place that is easy enough for you to get to, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of judging what he's not doing, help reconnect him to what you know he cares about. Does that make sense?
What's a good, yes, very much so. And I think he tried to problem solve with last night trying to get the particular homework done that I asked him to do because, well, anyway, he said to me that today, but I got really stressed because I thought this other class, I had this other stuff to do, and then I thought this other one, I had to do those two things, and so I just got so stressed I went up and played video games. So I think
so he just told you something really powerful.
He figured
right?
it out. He figured out that I got stressed, so there I went up.
So here's how you can then bring curiosity back, Jane. You can go back to him later and say, you know, I really was thinking about what you said, and you got stressed here and stressed there, and you went to play video games. What else do you use when you get stressed? What other tools do you have to handle it? What else helps you when you're stressed? Because I totally get mm-hmm. that video games is really helpful for you when you're stressed. What else do you and he may tell you nothing, and then that's good information. Then you can later build on, well, let's talk about some other coping strategies you might have, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is a kid we know does well when he goes outdoors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So helping him reconnect to that. But mm-hmm. that's – and when I talk about curiosity, that's exactly what I mean. It's like he's giving you really good information,
mm-hmm.
right? So pull it, listen to it. Who else? What else is coming up for people as we're having this conversation?
This is Lauren, and I can 100% relate to what Jane was just talking about and what you were talking about.
Okay. Say more.
I'm sorry?
Say a little more. Like, what part of it is a challenge for you, or do you see as beginning to work?
I think that curiosity is helpful in asking questions instead of telling them what to do. That's been helpful for me. But it is hard to not be passive-aggressive about it and say, like, oh, because my son used to love to read books. We used to have to make him put the books away. Like, he just had, he would read books so much, and now he doesn't do it anymore. So I'll say things like, oh, remember how you used to love to read books? And, you know, now all you do is sit around on your phone. Or I'll say things like that, and insinuating that it would be nice if he would read books. But so anyway, and I think, too, I think he's in a holding pattern also. I think he's doing his work, but I think he's, like, waiting for college and the next exciting thing that really interests him. I think he will start to, because I've seen it a little bit, he doesn't play as many games on his phone when there's more interesting things to do in life. So I just think when there's, you know, right now his phone and all that is more interesting than anything else to do. So I think when other things are more interesting to him, he will do those. But right now, there's nothing else that's more interesting.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating.
Right. And it is frustrating. And knowing that helps you meet him where he is,
mm-hmm.
right, and stay out of judgment around it.
Yes.
You know, and this is a classic phase at this stage for those of us with, you know, late-stage teenagers, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know. They really are in a holding pattern. And as much as we can look around and say, oh, there's so many other things you could be doing, like, they're
mm-hmm.
just, they're tired, done. They're, you know, they don't want to start something new now because
mm-hmm.
they're really waiting to leave.
Well, but part of it will be helping him to leave. Like, you could practice taking the ACT a little bit. You know, there's plenty of things he could do. He's supposed to get an internship for his class at school. He could research that. There's plenty of things he could do to help him eventually
but
leave.
That's very practical and rational. And
yes,
yeah.
which
you
is
know.
So frustrating that he doesn't see that sometimes.
Well, and he may not see that, but you can sort of piece by piece invite it to it. You can say, you know, it feels like you must be. So if you get curious, you know he's on a holding pattern, right? You
mm-hmm.
could say something like, it must be really frustrating feeling like you're waiting till you leave. Is there
mm-hmm.
anything you feel like you might want to do in this time that might be helpful? Or is there anything you've been thinking about? Like, you can ask him the questions to prompt him
mm-hmm.
towards it without, you know, you could be using your time better,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is such our tendency. It's what we want to do, right?
No, I went to Straight Solving It Forum, and I said, do you want to make a list of the things that you need to do? And then when you have extra time, you can, like, look at your list and see what things you might want to do. And he said,
maybe, yes, Mom,
or no,
I
not really.
Do that.
So, no, I went to, like, I had a solution for him as well
right.
that he wasn't interested in.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So I
want
to hear from a few more people, but I want you to go back to that when we do our final four, because there's a lot, there's a lot of juice in that, right?
Okay.
And I know somebody got knocked off and is back on. I think that was you, Susie and Linda.
Yep, it was
knocked off.
Okay. So, any other thoughts on this whole concept of of curiosity and how to use it without it being a weapon, right? How to use it as a tool, not as a weapon.
I was just kind of wondering myself, it's like, I feel like I don't know if there's two aspects of this. If one aspect is me thinking and being curious about what it could be, and another aspect is actually trying to get them to think about it. That's what I'm sitting here thinking. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes, like Chloe, you know, I mean, things are very complicated with her. It's hard for me to put a pinpoint on because, you know, they've been through so much. It's like, and we're now having cycles together. So that's a whole nother layer to things. And so is it hormones? Is it, you know, I can't think of the word for it, but whenever you feel rejected, you know, by a parent,
rejection,
not me per se,
yeah.
Not that she never feels it with me, but you know, with her father not being around and her mother, my sister passing, it's like, it's just so many layers. And when I do try to get to peel some of those layers away, I feel like, I don't even know if she understands, if she knows why she feels the way she does.
Right.
You know, I can occasionally get something out of her, and then sometimes it's like, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. And that's where I sort of go back to, some of this curiosity is about ourselves, right? It's like,
right.
You know, or dealing with a particular situation. But sometimes curiosity
mm-hmm.
is about, is really, the whole point is to just raise their awareness, little steps by little step, to what's going on with them. Because part of the challenge with these kids is they're not that self-aware, right? And,
right.
And so we have to guide them to that self-awareness in little bits. You know, we've talked before about the notion that we do this in baby steps, right? It's like the little bird at the end of the water that runs into the water and then runs away, and runs into the water and runs into the way. You know, and
yeah.
As adults, we have this tendency to want to sort of to get them to sit down and have a thoughtful, thorough conversation like you would with a therapist and get some self-awareness around this issue. But they're kids and they're not
right.
fully developed and fully cooked. And so
mm-hmm.
really where we are most effective with them is when we help them have little bits of insight that begin to accumulate.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, and because we had a conversation about her dad the other day. Me and my mother actually did together with her, which was good because she loves my mom, and my mom's just a very mild, calm person, and it helps me too.
Yeah, I bet.
But understanding with she's been telling people things about her father, and they're not very accurate because I think every kid wants to believe the best of their parent. And I didn't just come out
right.
and say, no, that's not true. But even when you do try to reason with her on it or think about it or look at different aspects of it, she just can't see it. She doesn't want,
well, and she doesn't want to
believe it.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
She doesn't want, and you know, there's different aspects of it. It's like helping a child to get to understand that it's their problem. It's not because of the child, you know, or that
right.
They're maybe not a, he's not somebody she could be with because he's not safe. You know, it's like
that's
you can't,
a really
yeah, she
hard
doesn't
concept
want to believe
for
that.
A kid to get. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like even though you get curious or you try to explain, it's like she doesn't want to grasp it and maybe can't. So it's like
mm-hmm.
I don't know, where does awareness start with that? I guess is my where I get stuck sometimes. I'm not sure what to do, or maybe if there's even anything I can do right now to bring.
Well, so what jumps out at me about what you're saying is that I think we all deal with this in some way, that, you know, this comes back to, is it naughty or neurological, right, on some level?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
right.
your kids have mm-hmm. some wounds that are going to take them years and probably a lot of therapy to to manage over their lifetime, right? And we all come to adulthood with wounds. And, you know, we want to do the best that we can to help them manage them. And, you know, we're not going to be able to fix it all, right? But if we can give them an environment and permission to become curious about themselves without feeling self-judgment, without feeling shame, without, you know, like learning that, that self-awareness and self-reflection is part of growing up and taking on life, it will serve them no matter what they're dealing with.
So maybe focus
a really powerful tool for them. Yeah.
Right. Which kind of gets back more to what we originally talked about connecting, maybe focusing more on the connecting and less on the logistics, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
How old is she?
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Chloe, well, here's the thing. She's 13. I've had her since she was 6, and I definitely see the coming into teenager, who I want to be, where I, you know, all that. I definitely see that shift more and more with her.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she just turned 13 this month, and we just both are on our second period together.
Can I say one thing real quick, Elaine?
Yeah.
Huh?
So I have a 14-year-old daughter, almost 15, and we don't have the challenges that Chloe has in terms of parents, and it's really hard. I mean, having a 14-year-old daughter, I think in any situation is challenging.
Right.
With the situation that you have, I think it's extra challenging. So I think I would give yourself some grace with that, too. I think part of it is being a 13-year-old girl, which is not easy for anybody, I think, for them or for us. So I don't know. I just thought I would throw that in.
Well, I appreciate
right
that.
Right there with you.
That helps. Because, like I said, I have a hard time sometimes with these hormones. Is this some coming of age thing? Is this because of what she's been through? You know, sometimes you just get bogged down trying to figure out, you know, really what's what. When, like you said, it's like sometimes we don't figure out these things until we're adults. I mean, I had a very hard childhood, and one good thing about that is I can identify with some things, you know. I can say, I understand how you feel. I went through that. But then there's some things that even if you say that, they'll say, no, you don't. You know, so.
Well, and that, that's just a really interesting tweak of language, is to be able to say, I can imagine how you might, instead of I know how you feel, change.
Right.
Because I can imagine that it might feel like, or I know that when this happened to me, I felt like this, so I can imagine you must, or, you know, I'd love to know how you feel. But if we don't, when we don't say, I know how you feel, then it enables them to connect just a little
bit. Well, that does make
me. In and out, Elaine. You keep breaking up. Does anybody else hear
Elaine.
That?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Did you get the gist of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. So let's start moving to closure as we're sort of leaving the conversation for today. What do you feel like you were focusing on, and what's your takeaway as we talk about curiosity and our curiosity and raising their awareness around it? What are you taking away? And is there any action for you to commit to? And if so, how do you want to set yourself up for success with it? What was your focus, and what are you taking away?
This is Janina. I think that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What Elaine said about the importance of the relationship, and that will help to establish the trust, and that's kind of a lifelong thing. And so that was a huge takeaway, and to set myself up for success would be to practice conversation that doesn't involve problems or school, but has interests in his life and fun stuff. And what was the last part?
That was that you can't you hit it, like setting yourself up for success is to really focus on other things besides only having it be about school for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Who else?
This is Lauren.
Go ahead.
Do you want to go, Linda or Susie?
No, you go ahead. I'll go ahead.
Okay.
No problem.
I think it's been helpful for me realizing that he probably feels like he's in a holding pattern, and to try to get curious about things he might enjoy doing before he goes off to college, gets a job, all of that, and being okay if there's not things that he would rather be doing,
mm-hmm.
I think is where I'm at.
Yeah, there's a real meet him where he is quality to where he is right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so if you want to help drive him towards or move him towards, you know, engaging in other things, it's got to be about what's in it for him.
Mm-hmm.
What's the value to him? Because he's not likely to do it just because he should or it would be a good idea. Because
mm-hmm.
that's just not where his head is right now.
And me trying to get him to do that was just hurting our relationship.
Your relationship, exactly. Yeah. Great. Who else?
This is Susie. Linda and I were focusing with Gabriel on him being able to ask for help, particularly in school and class. And I just, it was valuable because I think that we could be more curious about what is going on with him from his perspective about asking for help in class rather than trying to come up with a solution necessarily, but rather really trying to understand what's going on with him. And
so what's your commitment?
Thought.
Yeah.
My commitment is to have conversations with him that elicit his being more introspective about what actually is going on with him rather than what I think might be going on or what I think might be the solution.
Great. So can I just offer a little insight into that?
Yeah, please do.
Beware of having to have a sit-down conversation. Those are the conversations that happen best when you're chopping vegetables for dinner or driving in the car
mm-hmm.
or, you know, when it's a casual throw-out, not a sit-down.
Good. That's helpful.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Who else? Shari,
Linda?
You're back.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Linda, go ahead, mm-hmm. and then Shari.
Okay. So the whole conversation today, very interesting, and I actually think that it might be helpful. You know, we're focusing on, you know, Gabriel asking for help at school, but maybe it would be nice if we just talked to Gabriel. Like, not about school.
Good point.
I wrote a quick tip a couple of years ago that said stop talking to your kids about school. Truly. Because I think we make everything about school. Yeah.
Yeah. We were having a conversation the other day. He went from an A in math. He's now at a C. I said, you went from an A, now you're at a C. He goes, what do you care? You're right. What do I care?
Right.
So, anyway, interesting.
Yeah. All right. Great. And Shirey, what about you?
Well, I was actually thinking the same thing. It's just talking to her more. You know, there's one thing that I can say I'm blessed with, I guess you could say, or lucky or however, with my kids is that my family is extreme talkers. And
ooh,
so I don't have problems getting my kids to talk. And they're both, I mean, now do they want to talk about serious things sometimes? No. Do they want my ideas? Not always. But generally, they don't have a problem telling me what they're interested in, and they don't have a problem talking. And so that's something I probably need to focus on more, is since that's a strength, is that Chloe will talk. And so maybe just let her, encourage her to keep talking on her own terms about what she wants to talk about and worrying less about, you know, what's going on, and just maybe make more moments to encourage that And then that will maybe
great.
Help me to see what's going on in her head. So.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Yeah, if
and,
anything,
and
they talk
say,
too much.
I just
they
want
can't
to acknowledge.
Think.
Right. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes what they're into may be boring for us. Right. So you may have to stretch and figure out what's interesting in it for you. Right. Especially when you got girls 12 to 14 who are like doing the whole sort of fashion, yada, yada, celebrity world. It's like, oh my God, it's so boring. Really? But if that's what they're into, meet them where they are and just listen and stay curious and connect. Right?
Yep.
All right. Okay, everybody. Did we get everybody? I think we did. Cool. All right. Well, I just want to acknowledge you all, as always, for being here and for engaging and thinking and listening and asking the hard questions and getting curious about your approach as well as about what's going on with your kids. And I will tell you from a personal perspective, I think curiosity is probably one of the top skills that I use. When I don't know what to do, I just get curious. So I will sort of leave that with you, is that when all else fails, get curious. But I don't mean problem solving. I mean just stay open and curious and try to understand what's going on, because they're approaching the world through their lens, and they are old enough now where they have their own perspective on the world, and the more we can understand it, the more we can help them learn to navigate it. And on that note, I'm going to say everybody have a great day and a great couple weeks, and we will talk to y'all soon. Take care, everyone.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.